is here for all this to happen. Now let's go to Revelation 21 and verse 24. Kai. Peri Pat Susan. Ta ethne. Dia. Tu. Photos. Altes. Tai. Hoi. Basileus. Tais. Gaze. Barusan. Pain. Doxon. Alton. Ace. Altain. Okay. And they shall walk. The word actually means they shall walk about. All right? Around and about. This is, remember the term, the Crocodile Dundee, and they talk about a walkabout? You know, they go on a wandering tour of life. Well, this it's peripatio is what this word comes from, and it means to spread yourself out, to this walk down the earth, to walk down, to walk down and around. And this is part of the original commandments of God. Did you know that? What did God tell Adam in the garden?
Spread out over the earth.
Spread out. Multiply and spread out. Spread out and multiply. Walk down the earth because I'm giving it to you. And you're supposed to be caretaker of it. Walk it down. Patrol it. Be the administrator of God's kingdom. Now here we see the nations, the ta ethne, by the agency of the light of it, of this city. All right, the nations are going to walk about by the agency of the light of the city. Yes.
What would be the numerical setup on that? So walk about. What's the verb descending on that?
It's peri and patio. It's third person plural, future indicative active.
Future indicative.
Future indicative. They shall do it.
Okay.
Now, I want to tell you something. This is going to happen. The Bible in the Old Testament, Hebrew, there was a future perfect in Hebrew, in a Hebrew tense. It spoke of something in future that was going to happen, but it was spoken of as if it was historically, had happened already.
That's in Hebrew.
It's in Hebrew. Well, you can take this, and this is the idea here. These things are going to happen. This is absolutely going to be a statement of fact, and people are looking about, well, we'll look at church history for a while. Go back in church history. In the early 1900s, the American, or not American, but the Southern Baptist Convention, theologically, they weren't very sound back then in eschatology. You know what I'm talking about? In the second coming of the Lord. They weren't very sound. There weren't very many educated preachers at that time. Most of them were coming out of landmark Baptist ranks, the real educated preachers. J.R. Graves, J.M. Pendleton, A.T. Robertson, John A. Broadus. These people were educated. Well, they were preaching the truth, but basically the Southern Baptist Convention said, you give us $6 million and we'll take the world for Christ and bring in the people, and bring in the millennium.
Bring in the millennium?
Yeah, they were going to bring in the millennium. They were going to bring it in. They were going to convert the whole world. They were going to reach the whole world and bring the millennium, or God would have to come back and take over His kingdom. Well, that wasn't right. Quite theologically correct. You know what happened? Then came World War I. Then came a lot of other skirmishes, and then came World War II. Well, by that time, by the world time World War II had taken place, they got to thinking, you know something? Maybe our all-millennialist ideas of us bringing in the kingdom of God and this eternal kingdom and bringing the world to Christ isn't right. Maybe it's not. Maybe the world's not going to get better. Maybe it's going to get worse. Well, all they have to do is go back and read the Bible. They needed a little biblical education. It was a problem. They had a lot of programs and so many times conventions, associations, churches have programs that get in the way of their theology.
Amen.
we need to remember the Lord is going to usher in His kingdom. And He's going to do it according to a certain plan of the ages. And there's nothing that we're going to do here. There's only one thing that the Lord says during the church age. He said to His church, His assembly, before He left, He said, "What did Peter, you're a little rock. But upon this great gigantic foundation stone, I'll be building my church, my assembly, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her, and she'll be here until the end of this age, while I take her up and out of here." So many people think that the church died during the Dark Ages, or it didn't exist for hundreds of years. What problem do they have theologically, Brother Kim? Matthew 16:18. Matthew 28:18-20. You better get back to the Word of God, because the Word of God makes some very flat statements.
The end of the ages.
Yeah. The churches would be here. The Lord's churches would be here all through the ages.
Amen.
Persecuted and tormented, the biggest part of it. And then in the last days we have Laodicea. That's the age that we live in today. For we're not quite as concerned about really God's stuff as we ought to be. Lukewarmness. Well, the nations in this future eternal age, they'll walk by the light of the city of God, this great big Jerusalem. And we talked about last week, we talked about the immense size of it. I mean, we talked about how many square miles there was in it. How many square feet. And how much of a condominium that we might want or need or apartment in that area, and some of the assembly halls in this great city is absolutely beyond our understanding. We talked about the two twin towers in New York City were just nothing but a speck of sand compared to this city. This city is going to be nearly 1,500 miles high, by 1,500 miles deep, by 1,500 miles wide. 1,500 miles. It's a cube. It's the city Foursquare. That's where Amy McPherson got her Foursquare gospel from. That's right. That's where it came from. I mean, she was off on the wrong foot too, but that's where it came from. The Foursquare churches. All right. And the kings, the basileus, these kings of the earth, they shall bring the glory of them unto the city. And look at that word haltane there. What is that? As accusative, singular, feminine, isn't it?
Yes.
Third person pronoun. All right, it's feminine because cities have a feminine gender in the Bible. Okay? The nation shall bring their glory into these cities. Glory. What kind of glory?
Christ's glory.
The glory of Christ.
Now, it's the glory of
Jesus Christ.
Everything that we do by the grace of God, don't we?
That's right.
These nations will be going out and they'll bring offerings to God. And as far as I can tell, we're still going to be bringing offerings to God in the eternal ages.
And then it's specified right here. This is which are saved shall walk in the light.
Where are you, brother? Are you in 21:24?
Yeah.
Then sacrament to the nations of those who are saved. All right. Now let me see what it says. It may not be in the original. It may not be in this. I made other mistakes. I tell you what.
That was my question.
All the copies of the New Testament.
New American.
It's not in the New American Standard. Well, then it's probably not in the original text. 21:24.
This is what I got, Brother Jim, with my foot
moves.
Want me to read it?
Hold on just a second. No, that's not in the original language, buddy. Not in the original language.
What is not in the original language?
The saved. It says, in King James said, the saved. Somebody wrote a little parenthetical note sometime in there. Yes.
This is what I get. The nations, literally the peoples, redeemed people from every nation and ethnic group, will dwell in hell as light, heaven's light, in the eternal city, there will be no more divisions, barriers, or exclusions because of race or politics. All kinds of peoples in eternity dissolve into the people of God, and they will move freely in and about the city. That's what this kind of here.
Yeah, well, but the word saved there, that said the ones that are saved, that's not in the original text, Levine. It's not there, okay? That's somebody's interpretation of it.
If it ain't in there, and they put it in the other one, are they trying to translate it only?
Well, you have to realize, no, that's not. You have to realize that the text of the New Testament, the Hebrew Old Testament text, is perfect because every text that was spread or out, anything had to be certified by a rabbi. In the New Testament times, persecution was so bad that the New Testament, a lot of times, was written down by people, and a lot of times it was taken down orally. Or somebody did it by memory. And it was given out, sent out from different areas, and a lot of times a preacher would write a comment in it. Well, in a certain family of texts would be this comment, like we just had there. It really wasn't in the original language, but in this family of texts it would be there. And then in the 1700s and 1800s, we had some people talk, they started the science of textual criticism. And it is not criticizing the Bible. What they were doing is trying to weed through what was in the original autograph text and what they ended up with. Now, the King James Bible, which so much of our study is written on, was a very corrupt text. It was written by the Church of England, and it was supposed to be colored towards their doctrinal statements. I mean, that was the purpose of it. The purpose of it was to fight Baptists and the Catholics, and that's why they did it. And they weren't allowed to translate anything that was contrary to what they believed. And the translation of it from the text that they translated from were very poor. We have the Greek text. All of them were scattered about. In the 300s, there was a guy in Bethlehem by the name of Jerome. And he translated what is known as the Latin Vulgate. Well, he just took all kinds of Greek texts, and if one of them left something out, he just added it up. And when he finally ended up with what we call the Latin Vulgate, he said it's not supposed to be accurate.
Why?
It wasn't his purpose. He didn't try to make it accurate. He said, all I want to do is give you a translation in Latin. And why did he do this in 300? Why did they translate from the Greek into Latin in the first place?
Catholicism.
Yeah. Catholicism had started gaining control, and they did not want the common man to be able to read the Bible. Only the high educated. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, anybody, the world language at this period of time before 300 was the Greek language. Everybody spoke Greek. It's Koine, means common Greek. The language of the whole Western world at that time. And they changed it. The Catholic Church changed it to Latin. And they left a lot of people ignorant of only the educated could read and write, and then people lost the ability except for Baptists. Little Baptist communities and churches that were preaching from the original language still all the way down through the Dark Ages. And anyway, Jerome did his part in translating the Greek into the Latin. He didn't even care if it was accurate. All he did was for the Church of England so they could hide the Bible. Not the Church of England, but the Catholic Church, so they could hide the scriptures from the people's face. Well, then later on, in the 1700s and 1800s, they realized that there were problems with the text of the New Testament, not with the Old Testament, but the New Testament, the transmission of it, because it had been so corrupted, so they wanted to clean it up and wash it up and make it clean and bright and shiny like it was when it came from the hands of the apostles, from the inspired Word of God, and that's what they did. And, of course, they got a lot of flack from the world. King James was translated. The text of the King James came from the Greek to the Latin Vulgate. which was corrupted when it became the Latin Vulgate. Then they decided to translate the Latin Vulgate back into Greek. I'm not talking about translating from Greek to Greek. I'm talking about from Greek to Latin and back to Greek. That's the problem, brother. There is the text of the King James. That's where it came from. And that was the problem.
I was going to ask you on that verse, too, you know what? The way they put it on that verse.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
We're in Revelation 21, verse 26.
24.
We're on 25 now.
Okay, let me give you a text here.
You know why they put it? They put it as past tense, though. The same. You mean past tense?
Well, it wasn't there at all. Here's handling your text.
But they want us to think that.
Well, whatever. Back at that time, that wasn't even there, brother. Okay? It's not there. Revelation 21 and verse 25 now.
Oh, no. So, how do you translate? Because that nation's saved nations or unsaved nations?
Is there anybody lost here? This is the eternal ages. It's going to clarify that as we go. There aren't any lost people here. These are all saved people because God is going to say in just a few verses. He's going to say in just a few verses there aren't going to be any lost people there.
That's right.
God has cleaned up the whole universe now. This is the eternal glory. All right, Revelation 21 and verse 25. What we do is we read it in Greek and then we translate it. And Kai, Hoi, Pilunes. Alte, U, Me, Plesos, Thusen, Cameros, Nix, Gar, Uk, Este, Eke. All right, and it says, and the gates of her, or of it. What is this?
The gates of what?
Okay, of this city, this four-square city. The gates of this gigantic city. Nearly 1,500 miles square, okay? No, not. And when you and we got oo and may. We have got an adverb of negation and a particle of negation. And when God wants you to know that He's not going to allow something, He says, no, no. All right? Have you ever, when you were retraining your little children, when they started to touch the hot soap, you'd say, no, no. Don't do that. No, no. Well, God, every time, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when He wanted to emphasize something, and this is negative here, this is a negative emphasizing, that He's not going to allow this, He says, no, no. No, not.
He's using it the same way as He uses amen.
Yeah. Well,
just on the opposite side.
This is a double negative.
How about saying literally by no means?
Yeah. By no means. You could say by no means, but I like the Greek a lot better. The Greek says no, no.
Double negative.
Yeah, double negative. No, no. No way. Okay? It says, no, not. They may shut these gates day or night. Why?
Because the people coming in those gates day and night.
There's no night.
There's no night. There isn't any night.
There's people.
It's a one eternal day. Can you imagine that? I guarantee you some days I just don't get finished. Most days I don't get finished what I want to do in that day. And I have to go lay down and start over again the next day. I won't ever have to do that.
Amen.
Here. Because it's all the same now. It's the eternal now. You won't have to rest unless you want to, Brother Ken. You won't have to eat unless you just want to.
I might want
to
do that.
You don't have to rejuvenate. Remember when Jesus walked through the walls?
Yeah.
He walked through the walls. He had a glorified body. That's the only glorified body we have any reference to at all in the Bible. It's the body of Jesus, this glorified body. We know that atomic structure of material there are a lot of spaces in it. Even this wall, and you walk up there in this wall, and you just can't push your hand through that wall, can you? Because something's in the way. But if you could line up the spaces in your body with the spaces in that wall, you could put your hand right through the wall. Couldn't you? That's what Jesus did. Everything's going to fit together like a puzzle that's been scattered. When Adam sinned and went against God, when Satan sinned and went against God, everything was helter-skelter in the whole universe. Well, God's going to put it all back together.
Amen.
It's going to be all put back together. It's going to be in order. What's the word cosmos mean anyway? We got a word cosmetics from it. A woman, when she gets up in the morning, she tries to put her face in order. Put cosmetics on him. Tries to get herself in order. Well, the word cosmos, world, universe, it means the order of things. God likes order.
Amen.
All right. And the gates of this city, they shall not be shut day nor night, for there isn't, or there shall be no day or night there. All right. Now, 21 and 20, verse 26. Kai. Oesusi, Tain, Doxon, Kai, Tain, Timain, Ton, Ethnon, Ace, Altain. All right. And it says, and, there's a little conjunction, and they shall bring the glory. All right, the Doxon. The glory. These nations are going to bring glory into this city. What kind of glory?
Is it like crowns? That are going to be given back?
Well, you know, the Lord's going to give us rewards and then we're going to drop them at His feet and say, you're the ones that earned them. Brother Art Chires came out the other day and Fernando Reyes, and they helped do some welding, building up the pasture on my farm. And it's just a mess out there, and they put it in order. Started building a new fence for me. And they, I pay them by giving them tapes of the classes that I teach. And Art was saying, you know, he said, Jim, he said, you know what, when you're dead and gone, people are still going to be learning from you. Because of all the teaching and all the taping and everything that you've done, you'll be teaching when you're dead still. I said, good. I went over to Riverview Baptist Church here a while back, and I got Ken a preaching appointment over there, where he preached his first sermon. And I was very proud of him. And at the end of that message, where some people making comments, and I said, that's my boy. You did a good job. He is so bashful that he won't even listen to his sermon. I did the same thing, brother. I know what you're talking about. But you did a beautiful job. He preached on the book of Philemon. Wonderful job of preaching on it. Just beautiful. The people enjoyed it. They feasted on the Word of God. And when you see your child do something that you taught them how to do and they do it well, you smile. I remember when I was teaching one of my boys how to ride, he wouldn't listen to me. You know, children are like that. They don't listen to their daddy or the mama because they don't think you know anything. They get to the point, you know, when they're teenagers, they just absolutely are so smart. And I took him out to a horse show, and there was a whole bunch of girls in this horse show, and they waxed him. He didn't win anything. He thought he was a great horseman. And after the horse show, Gary came up and he said, Dad, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? I said, everything. I said, you don't listen to me for one thing. I said, you really want to learn how to go out there and win? And you want to learn what you're doing wrong? I said, you have to learn all over again. What you think you know, just get rid of it. Because you've learned it all wrong. I said, you have to learn and just start off with baby steps and then take bigger steps. I said, you have to learn what a lead is, the horse. When a horse leads to his left, he leads to his left. When he leads to his right, he leads to his right. You have to learn how to make that horse do that. And you have to learn how to do these lead changes, and you have to learn how to roll them back and all. Well, he can't do that. And I said, yeah, he can. I had not even shown him that the horse could do it. And he learned, and I took him out, and he started. Finally, we ended up, and I had a wall almost as big as that, just for ribbons that he had worn. And I was proud of it, because he had done this. And this is the way God is going to be here. Now, these are God's children now. And the way that he has taught them to glorify him is by following in his path. When Jesus was on this earth, I'll be with you in just a second, buddy. When Jesus was on this earth, he gave us the best example of walking in his steps that we ever could. Didn't he?
Amen.
We don't have a better example. We don't have a better example than Jesus. And that was God came down and visited his creation. And the things that he did, and the rules that he set in this world, and how he loved men, and how he cursed them too. He cursed wrong, didn't he? An intentional wrong, he cursed it. And there's no place for it here. Because God's going to absolutely, he's going to identify all of the sins that he hates. And he's going to do it real soon here. He's going to identify these sins, and we have to accept that. Because this is the God of heaven doing it.
Amen.
And when they follow God, then when they do this, they're going to glorify God. And it's like he's saying, he says, attaboy. That's a good girl. That's a good boy. And this is the glory that they're going to bring in the city, brother.
I wanted to say, Jim, when I visited this men's prayer breakfast back at Derry Island, mm-hmm. where Pastor Shores, this other man and I, we started that prayer breakfast. Well, the man that taught the men that morning was a man, like I said, I led him to the Lord in discipling, get baptized. And he met my home, and I showed him how to study the Word and teach it to a certain extent. Well, he used his computer. He did a Greek word study on Koinonia Fellowship. He didn't pronounce it very good, but in the Greek, but yet he had a good definition of it from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went, he took different verses and expounded on that. But it just made me feel good that here he was teaching the Word, that he had his heart into it.
Mm-hmm.
And before I left, we had somewhat of a conflict, but we got that straightened out before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he asked me to pray over the food before he ate. But it was gratifying seeing him.
That's your child.
He just had his heart. And here's a man, by the way. Here's a man. When I met him, he had gone through divorce, and this guy was about in his 50s, early 50s. So he was going through the mill. So God's grace really had to work his heart. But it was just a blessing to see him in action. And just teaching the Word and asking questions for the man and getting him involved.
It is good to see your children that way. This man is your child.
Yeah.
He's like your child. Your children in the faith. Sometimes God gives you children that you don't have in your flesh. Did you know that? You may ever never have a child that followed your pathway of your own. But God will give you something. Look at Paul. Look at Paul. Philemon, Timothy, Titus, all of these were God's gift to Paul. What did his own children do to him? What did Paul's children do to him? They buried him. They had a burial for that man, and they buried him. As far as they're concerned, he died, and his wife divorced him. It's over with. As far as this world, Paul was very upset with women from that time on. I mean, from now on, you just read Titus just a little bit, and First and Second Timothy, and he called women hellions, devils, and she devils, and everything you can think of. I mean, keep them under control. Keep those witches in hand.
You're not saying that Paul got divorced. You're saying that
Paul was divorced.
Paul,
absolutely, his wife divorced him. The Apostle Paul, his wife divorced him and buried him.
Where do you get that from?
From history. Not all history is in the Bible. History. You remember, I read from the Arco volume and different things. History. Read the Athanasian Fathers and history that took place back then. Paul had himself neutered. He became a eunuch. And Paul refers to that in his writings. And he said that he could have had a wife if he wanted to, like Peter, but he chose not to. He didn't want to go through this situation again. He was going to live the rest of his life for God. And that's what he did. And this is where a lot of the priestly, all this bad ideas came from. We've heard all about the Catholic Church and all about the problems that they're having with their priests. It started in 1123 A.D. They started off on a wrong premise. And it has caused nothing. And you can look in history. It's done the same thing all the way down through history. When you start off on the wrong foot, you're in trouble. Right now. Instantly. Because you go away from the Word of God.
Where can I check that out at, Jim?
At the Nicene Fathers. Just write some of the comments of the Fathers back then. Some of the what we call the...
Athanasian Fathers?
Athanasian Fathers. That's before the Council of Nice in 321. In the library. Yeah, in the library.
Well,
that's Polycarp? Polycarp, all of those they wrote. These were disciples of John and Paul, Barnabas. There's a lot of things. Now, this isn't inspired, by the way, but this is history, okay? And it says, and the glory and the honor of the nations unto her, unto the sea. The glory. We glory in our children when they're doing what we teach them. And honor, Timae. Okay? Timae. The word Timothy comes from this word, honorable. The glory and the honor of God into these cities. And what they're doing is they're mimicking their Creator. The glory and the honor. 21 verse 27. Kai.
Okay.
And then we have Ume.
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 Ace, Althane.
Ace.
Althane.
Ace.
Ace.
Althane.
Pon.
Pon.
Koinon.
Koinon.
Kai.
Kai.
Poyon.
Poyon.
Delugma.
Delugma.
Kai.
Kai.
Sudos.
Sudos.
A.
May.
Hoy. Geg Gom Minoi. In, to, biblio, tais, zoes, to, arniu. All right, this is a verse that we could go on for a long time, talk about the books of life and everything. And we have a double negative again. It says, Kai Ume. And know not, may enter into this city, any profane, common, worldling, unholy, ungodly thing. That's the word common right there, brother. Anything common. We talk about the world today, and all we see out in the world is ungodliness. And the world says my ungodliness is okay. I'm going to carry my ungodliness to church with me. I'm going to carry it right into eternity with God. God says no. Happen. Well, it's common among us today. Oh, no. This has got to be all right. So many people that everybody's doing it. But it's not. God has rules.
Amen.
Not may enter into this city anything worldling, common, from the last age, from all the former ages. And the one making, and this word is abominations. This is bedelugma, blasphemies, idolatry, anything that pollutes, anything that contaminates. Eternal heavens are going to be pure, uncontaminated with any Adamic, hellish practices. It's not going to happen there. All right? No common worldly thing will be allowed into this city. No abomination, no idolatry with its pollutions. And then it says no lie. no liar, no perjurer, no lawyers. That's the how. We got rid of them, didn't we? The Lord did. Then it says, Amen. All right. Nothing. If not the ones, only except the ones having been written in the book of life of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life, the book that belongs to the Lamb. And let me give you some cross references. This Isaiah 52 and verse 1, Ezekiel 44 and verse 9, Zechariah 14 and verse 21, Revelation 22 and verse 14, and Revelation 3 and verse 5. Talking about the Lamb's book of life. Nobody is going to be in the city, brother, except saved people.
Amen.
There are going to be no lost people, and you're not going to get in your way either. There are a lot of religious people in the world today that go to church very religiously, but they're not going to church, and they're not studying God's Word according to God's rules. Religion won't save you. Truth saves you. And truth comes from the true Word of God. Why we teach this class here is because it is the unadulterated, inspired Word of God. One of my students that put up my works on the internet, discovertheword.com, he wrote on the front page, cover page on there, where you can study the Word of God from the original inspired languages that it was written in. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. Okay? Now, Revelation 22 and verse 1, we're in the last chapter of the book of Revelation now. And we'll look at this verse before I turn you loose. Kai. Adexin. Moi. Potamon. Hidatos. Zoes. Lampron. Hos. Christolon. Ek porumenon. Ek tu phronu. Tu theu kai tu arniu. All right. And he pointed out to me a river. You ever heard of the word hippopotamus? What does the word hippopotamus mean? It comes from two Greek words. What? Water horse. Hippos is horse. And this word right here, this potamon, that's the word potami. All right? Hippopotamus. Water horse. Or horse water. Or river horse. Okay? And he pointed out to me a river. A water. Of life. Now this water is not dead water. It's not dead water. This is running water. We got to go back to understand what living water is and dead water is. How many of you have heard of a cistern?
We have one cistern.
Okay, a cistern. That's dead water. That's dead water. How about a well?
Yes.
What kind of water is that?
Hard water.
Well, it's dead water. It's dead water. It's from a big reservoir on the ground and you pump it out or you draw it out. That's dead water. When you have a river, that's called living water. Okay, living waters. Now, we're going back to the Bible. Okay? Now, Jesus was in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman there at a well. And he told her, please give me a drink of water. Yes. And she says, you're a Jew and you're asking me, a Samaritan? She started a racial conflict with him. And you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink of water? He said, if you only knew who I was, he said, I would give you living water. This is dead water. That well was dead water. That was water in the ground. It was dead water. He said, I'll give you flowing water, living water. Now, Jesus was referring to what he did to Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. When Moses struck the rock, and the rock was a type of Christ, what flowed? Living waters. Not dead waters. Living waters. Okay? These living waters came out and they watered the whole nation of Israel. And it was pure water. Living water. And this woman was so excited when Jesus told her he could give her flowing living water. She thought, well, maybe this is a guy's a plumber. Is he going to plumb my house? He said, you'll never have to come and draw again. He said, you'll never have to drink if you partake of the water that I have for you. When they poured out the drink offering in Jerusalem one time, just as they were pouring out the drink offering, Jesus stood forth and he says, come unto me, ye that thirst, and I'll give you living waters. Again, living waters. The kind of waters that were in the wilderness that God gave Israel. He said, I am the water of life. He told the woman at the well of Samaria, he said, I am the Christ, the Messiah, Jehovah in the flesh. I am the one that was to come. And she said, well, you know what? When the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. He said, I am. When Jehovah becomes flesh, John 1:14, I'll tell you all things. He said, I'll tell you all things. And what did that woman do? She went to her city, and that city just poured out to him. God had become flesh, and God was among men, mankind, and he was not hampered by physical science. He could do miracles. He says, and he pointed out to me the river of water, living water. Remember that, living water. Who is the source of this water?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. Who created everything in the beginning?
God and Jesus Christ.
That's right. The Trinity, the triune God, Elohim. But who was the physical product of doing all this?
God.
Colossians, the first chapter.
Jesus
Jehovah
Christ.
In the flesh. All right. That's the only God you're ever going to see. There aren't three of them there. There's only one. And he is the physical God. Okay? He is it. And the river of water of life, this bright lamp, bright like crystal. How many of you ever had what they call titanium bulbs? Or
what was real bright?
Krypton?
Krypton, yes.
These really strong lights. That's what it's talking about here. You know, when this was written, they didn't have a light bulb. When this was written, they didn't even have Aladdin lamps yet. I'm not talking about the look out more light than any lamp. It says it's like crystal. We get our word crystallone here. This is where we get our word crystal from. It's crystal clear, pure, bright light. And it talks about this city. It's going to be brighter than the sun. If you want to find a sticker in your finger, or if you want to look at something and you see a flaw in it, what do you do usually? You go outside and get in the sunlight. That's real light. And you hold it in the sunlight and you look at it. This light that's here is going to be better than that light God made. You know these lights here aggravate you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that? This is a scientific fact. These lights flash real fast. You can't really tell it, but it flashes and it makes you agitated. The best kind of light to have to calm a classroom down is an incandescent light bulb, because it's a constant light. All right? I'm glad some of you knew that.
Yes.
Why they put these in schools, I don't know. They know. I mean, they're supposed to be smart people in schools. Instead of aggravating them, maybe they're having problems because of these fluorescent lights. Crystal, going forth here. This light is going forth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, you could translate this in a different way. It says, out of the throne. Now, out of the ek tu thronu. We got a word throne right out of that Greek word, okay? And that's tu theou. The throne belonging to God, genitive, singular, masculine. Then we have a chi. And the word chi, if you want to look it up on page 208 of Benjamin Davidson's analytical lexicon, you're going to find out this thing can be it's an adversative conjunction. It's a conjunction, and sometimes it's a commutative, what they call a cumulative particle, and sometimes a particle of affirmation.
Even.
All right, now look at that, a particle of affirmation here. How should that be translated?
The throne of God, even the Lamb.
Even the Lamb.
Also
the Lamb. Who is God? What is this word lamb here, this ornio? What does it mean? What kind of lamb is this?
Sacrificial lamb.
This is the lamb that was marked for sacrifice. From eternity past, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slaughtered for our sins. And in time and space, He became the lamb that was marked for sacrifice. And in time and space, He gave His life for us. And that's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. A lot of people trying to work their way to heaven. A lot of people trying to sidestep God's rules. But there's only one way. There's only one gate. There's only one door. And the next few verses in this 22nd chapter is going to draw the line between right, God's right, and the world's right. Or we might say the world's wrong. Nothing the world has ever come up with has ever been as right as truth from God's Word. The Catholic Church, for hundreds of years, told the world that the world was flat. And when Galileo came up and said the world was round, and the world actually was revolving around the sun, he believed, they said, you take that back or we will kick you out. You go to hell. You can't say that. The only problem is they weren't studying the Word of God because the Word of God always said that the world was round. It was never flat. Their theology had to be straightened out. Still isn't straightened out, is it, today? The light of the Lamb. 22 and verse 2 is where we're going to start next week. What is the date today?
22nd.
All right. Thank you for your attention. Brother, what is your name?
Floyd Martin.
All right. It's good to have you here. I hope you come back next Wednesday. We'll be here at 6 o'clock. Whatever time you can get here, you just come and do it. All right. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to see all of you here tonight. But Ken, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Sure. Thank you, Father God, so much for this time we've had together. And thank you for your awesome word, and thank you for the desire you put in our hearts to understand your word better and understand your meanings better, Lord. I just pray you just help us absorb everything that you've given Jim to give us. I pray you just help us use it, help us reason it in our minds and able to tell other people about it. I pray you just bless this time as we leave from here. Keep us safe in you. Bring us back safely in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.